Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Hollywood's bad guy, and so much more. Actor, talent manager, producer, and more. Now he's sitting down with today's top newsmakers from entertainment, politics, pop culture, and beyond. This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
Howdy, everyone, and welcome to a live edition of One-on-One with Jasper Cole. This is your host, Mr. Jasper Cole, coming to you from Palm Springs, California, on this hot and dry day. Now, I was away last week when it was 124 in the desert, so for once I was happy to be in the Georgia heat and humidity, but I must say it was actually very mild in Georgia. I got to have a great trip home. I got to visit family, my dad's 89th birthday, Father's Day, and I got to reconnect with so many great friends and family. And to the people I met along the way, people in the airport that I saw and talked to and on the plane, I just want to say thank you for everything. Everyone, please go to my website, jaspercole.com. Go to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. You can follow us there and check out all the archive shows. You know, also I'm at Jasper Cole Says, S-A-Y-S, on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find us anywhere. And so I just, at this point, I'm just desperate to bring on the one and only, my sidekick, Mr. Ralph Cole Jr.
Wow,
Ralph.
Okay, yes. I was shot out of a cannon onto your show. I am fabulous and fierce. I am energized, and life is good.
And I missed your black ass last week. I missed doing the show with you.
I know. Well, you were doing your own show in Athens, Georgia, and you were very successful there. It was a good time for you to be home.
It was a great time to be home, yes. And I posted a video this week saying how, you know, it's really nice to sort of get out of my West Coast liberal bubble. I mean, listen, I really don't want to get out of it. But, you know, but the fact that I did, it does make me realize, you know, with all the politics and the last few years and screaming at each other as I did on Instagram and all the social media, you know, at the end of the day, you know, most of us want, you know, to be loved. We want to be healthy. We want to have a happy family. And so I sort of reconnected with that. And it was just, but it's always great to get back and, you know, get back to the West Coast, get back to work. I wanted to let everyone know this coming Sunday, the 27th, will be my first time live back in the studio. I'm taping two episodes. It's going to be a new The Heroes and Horrors of Homelessness with General Jeff Page. And then I'm doing a Breaking the News with our fabulous Erica Renee Davis.
Yeah.
Our first two shows in July. They will air the first two Thursdays in July. But Ralph, everything good with you?
All is great, Jasper. I am pleased to say I feel good. You know, and energized, and ready to get back out there.
I know. I can't wait to see you. It's been you and Eric and I saw each other on the same day in November of 2019, and that's been it.
With Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Rose, right. Well, listen, everyone, we've got an amazing guest today, and we're going to get to the guest first because he is off to a virtual screening of his new film called No Goodbyes, and it's an amazing new project. And at this time, without further ado, please welcome the fabulous Mr. Billy Cliff.
Hello?
Hey, Billy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Welcome to the show. This is Jasper.
Hi, Billy. Welcome.
Well, thank you, darling.
What
so
a
nice
fabulous
to
surprise.
Be here, wherever I am.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, virtually everywhere, anytime, but together for the first time. Yes.
Exactly.
Billy, what a fun surprise for you to be a guest on our show. Our listeners want to hear all about your long-ass career, your Emmy-nominated project, and your latest project with the most evocative storyline.
Right. So tell everyone, Billy, first of all, let's talk about No Goodbyes and also the event that's happening in a little while. Do you know if people can still go to that as well, if there's time, or?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe you can still RSVP up until, you know, pretty much the close of the time. I believe it starts at 7, so that's pretty soon. But still, if you're listening now, go to for it. I couldn't tell you what it is off the top of my head, but it's the Museum of Tolerance is doing this amazing screening, so to speak, or, you know, of course, it's on the internet right now. As a lot of things are, but I'm very excited to be a part of it. It's such an honor to be, it just like legitimizes your project, right?
Mm-hmm.
You
yes,
know, to have
yes.
the Museum of Tolerance to say, this is something that needs to be seen, you know?
Wow, that's amazing. Well, tell us about the movie and how it came to be and how, you know, how the whole thing happened.
Certainly. I before the pandemic, which, you know, happened not that long ago. Anyway, I was in Poland shooting a documentary about a painting that had been stolen by the Nazis from the Warsaw Museum, and it ended up here in Silver Lake, and two gay men had the painting. They do not longer. They gave it back to the Warsaw Museum, and there was this big ceremony, and I went along with them for this big ceremony in Warsaw. And so I went to the different museums that had a lot to do with the, of course, the Holocaust. I mean, that's quite
right.
part of their world there. And I saw so little about the gay people that were in the Holocaust. There was like, you know, a little spot here and there, you know, of all the places that I went, you know, like they didn't ignore it, but they didn't do much about it. You know, like there was one outfit with the pink triangle on and you're going, excuse me, you know? And so I just went, you know, I put that in my brain and I said, this is really, really crucial that I do something about it. And so when I came back home, I happened upon this wonderful playwright, Simon Okura, who had been doing and writing plays about the Holocaust and all the different aspects of the gay people in that process or what occurred then. And I reached out to him because I didn't have all the knowledge of all the things that happened and how long it would take me to really read up on all of it and really, really take it into my soul so that I could really say it correctly or do it correctly. And so I reached out to him and I said, you know, you've got the information and I've got the ability to take it and put it into a screenplay. So let's collaborate and we'll feed off each other and we'll turn it into something. And that's what happened. And we shot it during the pandemic last November when we had just a little bit of opening and a lot of Hollywood was starting to come back. And it is about one young man and his experiences, what happened to him during while he was in the Holocaust. And it shows parts of it that people know nothing about. They didn't know anything like this happened, you know, particularly
right.
It's basically three people in the short film. A capo who was typically a prisoner, often Jewish, who would be brought in for a barrack to keep the prisoners in line. And they typically were harsh and cruel and would know how to do whatever was needed by what the SS guards would tell them to do. And then this young boy who, by one of the capos, because capos were allowed to have a personal assistant. Well, what is a personal assistant? I don't know, but this is what this capo did, is he took him as basically his sex slave.
Right.
And this is something that occurred, you know, something that nobody knows about, right? I mean, really, unless you're really into the history. And then there was this particular story. We combined three different stories that were true that happened, where an SS guard actually did fall in love with a young man and help get him out. And so we combined these three stories to shine light on what had happened. And, of course, my intention is to turn it into a feature.
Mm-hmm. Right. And
so
we want to give a shout-out to the cast, our friend Mel England, who's a great friend of the show, and a friend of Ralph and I, who's a great actor and now lives in – he's a fellow Palm Springs resident.
Yes.
And
he
you
is.
Guys have worked together before, right?
Yes. In a small short film called A Virtual Connection, which we filmed just before the pandemic and is now doing the festival circuit and is doing quite well, thank goodness. It's very good.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, listen, this, like you said, you know, it's interesting because as far as we know, we've come in terms of the LGBTQ plus, you know, community, this is when you kind of realize, wow, there are all these stories that we don't know anything about. It's like parallel to the Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, when we're hearing about what happened there in Tulsa in our world, in the gay world of history, there is so much that we don't know about and that we were never taught. And I think maybe Alan Turing, you know, who kind of helped break the enigma code. I think he's sort of been like probably the most, quote, famous during that time period. But, you know, like this kind of story that you've uncovered here just makes you think how many hundreds of other stories there are like that are out there.
Exactly. I really have dedicated my career to finding stories like this to tell. I mean, we have so long in our little world and life and all that kind of stuff. And I know that the doc had something to do with it that I did for the A Long Road to Freedom, The Advocate Celebrates 50 Years. And it just
brilliant
really energized
production.
Me.
It was so
good.
It
just made me. Thank you. Thank you so much. And it just really made me want to do whatever I could do on this planet and shed some light on information. And what I didn't mention before was the biggest, most amazing thing that we were able to get for our short film, which is 25 minutes long. So it's not ultra short. We pack a lot of punch in 25 minutes. Is that we had an actual Holocaust survivor play the old Otto talking about his experiences in the Holocaust, and then we are in watching his experiences unfold.
It's amazing. So riveting. It was very just riveting. I mean, I really can't wait because I can see it. I can see it being expanded into. Well, first of all, let me say it's riveting just as a short. And if you never did the feature, it stands alone very well, you know, as is. But I could see it. Like I would, you know, I'm wanting more. I could see it going to a full-length feature as well.
Thank you. Thank you. That's it, it's truly the reason why I did it was, you know, proof of concept, right?
Yeah,
it's to
sure.
show you that I'm going to give you a flavor of what this is. And then, of course, the feature will delve into these three people, three gay men, right, who especially the other two, the SS Guard and the Capo, who would have to hide everything about them
right.
through their lives, you know? I mean, and I just think that that would be so fascinating to delve into their lives, all three
oh,
of them.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, and why they became who they were due to the circumstances of what their life was like. And the timing, of course.
Is there a place that people that the listeners can see the film in the as the short now? Is it going to be out for the public?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Perfect. Everyone go to Amazon Prime and check it out. No goodbyes. You know, I'm always, first of all, in my mind, you really represent to me like a true artist. You know, Hollywood gets such a bad rap at times, I guess, especially the TV and film world, that, you know, there's really no real art and we just do it for the paycheck and blah, blah, blah. And that's true. I mean, sometimes we do, but you've had this amazing relationship. I mean, real, I'm being honest. I do it a lot, but that's why I'm like I so admire someone that really can find these great projects. But you and David Milburn and Paul Collegeman at Hear TV and Region Entertainment, you three have had this amazing relationship over the years. And I mean, people should know you have done some really just what you've done, different documentaries and stuff, TV shows on Hear TV is a huge catalog of work. How did that relationship, how did they come into your career on your Hollywood path?
Well, you know, I was a hair and makeup artist for most of my life, starting in the early 80s. And so that was my life. I've always been in this industry, from going from Hollywood High and being in all the shows to leaving that, becoming a model. And then by the time I was 21, I was doing hair and makeup on celebrities. And so about... when Elizabeth Montgomery was a very dear friend of mine, and when she passed in 95, it actually shook my entire world. It was also during the AIDS epidemic, and she definitely was a catalyst for a lot of me stopping my life and looking at it, and all the different people who had passed around me for quite a few years now, right? And
right.
I moved to San Francisco, and I really stopped. And then I came down with full-blown AIDS in 99 and
wow.
almost died. I was actually sent home to die at one point, and I didn't. And it took me 5 years to bring myself back, so to speak. And at that point, I'd been thinking about, all right, this is another chapter of my life. This is another like who, what, why am I here? What am I doing? And I just went, I want to do something that I always wanted to do when I was a kid, and that was tell stories and become a filmmaker. And I never gave myself permission. I would be with some of the most and work with some of the most amazing people, like Blake Edwards and just phenomenal directors and writers, and I finally went, all right, you do it. And so that's what I did. And so we're talking not until about 2008, 2009 did I do anything as a filmmaker.
Wow.
And my journey was first I did two documentaries, one on Jose Sierra from San Francisco, and another one was on old Queens and their dedication to their Victorian homes in San Francisco.
Was Ralph featured in that?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
But of course he's been
he was cut out.
He
was cut out.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't make the final cut. I digress.
He is young and vibrant and beautiful. How could you say that about him?
God damn it, right.
And so my first feature was, after the two docs, was my baby Jane, which was a ridiculous thing to do because I just wanted to try to do something, and I just had this crazy idea. And I also did it as a proof to see if I was any good at this. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can have a dream, you can try all you want, but that doesn't mean you have that thing.
Right.
That, you know, it's something that we don't even understand. It's an instinct. It's a vision. It's so many different things have to come together because it takes a lot to write and direct and then and create and see something and then be able to take what you see and actually make it happen and then to sit down and edit, because I edit all my own work as well.
Amazing.
So that was the one that told me after I was shocked to get amazing reviews at such a ridiculous thing, you know? And I went, okay, all right, this is telling me that I may have something here. And I decided to I better move back to Los Angeles and be where everything is, be back home. And be where everything is. And about 7 years ago, I just happened to sit next to David Milburn in a movie theater. And I was with Jason Stewart, who he and I had become friends. And we sat in the movie theater, and he was next to me. And we became friends. And it really just was a friendship. It was like I invited him to parties. We just hung out. There was nothing. And
right.
Then I started writing and creating some ideas, and then I just was talking about them. He said, oh, you should come in and tell us what you're doing. And our first project, I think, was Hush Up, Sweet Charlotte.
Right.
And that was 7 years ago. And so it just – that's where it started.
Well, it just organically – you know, Ralph and I talk about this a lot, you know, in Hollywood – so many, especially young actors, young filmmakers, they all think, you know, they hear about you've got to make connections, you've got to network, and that's true, right? But then there's nothing better than just an organic connection where, you know, you meet someone and you're – because everyone's sort of out to get something, right? And you always get that feeling. So I always love it when it's – Billy, the thing is, if someone goes back and looks at your body of work, I mean, the amount of stuff you've packed in such a 10-year, 12-year period is astounding. I mean, I didn't even know you were a native – LA person like Ralph is. I always thought of you as like being from the Midwest, you know, or somewhere.
So, nothing wrong with that.
No. I mean, that's what I mean. You have a very wholesome kind of, you know, great persona about you. I just love the fact that and I have to tell everyone, listeners, I watch the Reels channel, and I'm a true crime fanatic, and I watch all these shows. And I watched a show about – it's called Autopsy. And basically they take a celebrity who has died, and it's kind of a biographical show, and they throw in some medical stuff. But I was watching the one on Elizabeth Montgomery, and all of a sudden Billy pops up. And I was so moved by your participation in that episode. I mean, when you say you were dear friends, I mean, you were just – it was so genuine and passionate. And now I'm hearing this and I'm thinking, you know what? All those years you were around all these people, it was almost like a masterclass in filmmaking without, you know, you got to watch everything and sort of, I'm sure, itching to do it. But you know what I mean? Do you ever look back and think in a way that was sort of preparing you for your future directing, producing, writing career?
Oh, 100%. It was like, you know, being the hair and makeup person for an individual in a film, particularly women, you talk to the director of photography and how to light them And you, I mean, I many times, some of the top DPs, I'd be like, no, 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 lower that just a little bit. No, no, mm-hmm. you've got to push this over to the left. I'd be like helping them to make sure that they were lit perfectly. I would, you know, I would tell the camera person, no, you lift up the camera a little bit lighter, a little bit higher, a little bit higher. Okay, you just got to be just above the face so that you're not coming up at them in any way. You know what I mean? Just learning all these
right.
different things. And then you start understanding what it's all for and what it does. So yes, and watching them work, you know, I mean, and how to be a good director. I mean, how to make people listen to you and actually respect you instead of fear you, you know?
Right. And then also knowing how to talk to actors, which I'm sure you learned from being, and listen, everyone knows that, but if you don't, when you work on a project, the hair and makeup trailer is really the place to be. I mean, hair and makeup, not only do they have the tea on everybody, because Billy, don't you find that that's really where, well, it's kind of like when you go to your hairdresser in real life, you know, and people sit in that chair and they kind of pour their heart and soul out to you. But
totally.
Wow. I mean, you've been able to and
you're like talking about, you know, when you're on a film set, they're coming in at 5 a.m, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're the first person they actually see besides the PA who walks them in possibly or whatever. And you are the one who has to assist them in being comfortable and ready for their day. And
right.
I know the director would always come in or ask me to come over and say, okay, how are they doing? And I'll be like, you know, give them another 20 minutes if you want what you want. You know what I mean? Or they're ready, they're great, everything's fine. You know what I mean? And
right.
So that everybody's happy. Everybody, you know, so it keeps a really good a tone on set. And so, yes, it's a crucial – that's why it's so important. I don't think a lot of young people or young – I'm not young people, but young people in the industry. I don't mean their age. I mean how it's new.
Sure.
They don't understand
yeah.
how crucial all these different elements are on a set. And, of course, then, again, the director is the most important to set a tone so that – you've got to make sure that everybody feels comfortable and at ease and that it's in control and they're not, even if everything's falling apart, they should never know.
Nope.
You know?
Right.
Because, you know, well, I mean, I've worked on sets where all of a sudden you've lost your location because someone came in and you're like going, where are we going to shoot this in the morning? You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, because I produce also, and people will ask me sometimes, Jesper, what does a producer do? And it's like, oh, my God. I mean,
oh my God.
I always say all actors should get on the other side at least one time, right, so they can understand the dynamics and just how it takes a village, literally. One time early in my career, we were shooting an indie film in Pasadena. I tell this story, and we had this beautiful house and location and blah, blah, blah. And we're shooting away. And then one of my co-producers, I can remember he gave me this, like, motion me to come over. And I walk over and he's like, the check bounced for today's location. And I was like, who bounced the check?
You're
he's like, I don't know, but we have to. And this was like a Saturday. And he was like, we owe them, like, we got to come up with like $2,000. So literally, you remember in those days, you could only get like 300 cash out of your
right.
ATM. So
Ralph's
we were like,
too.
We had to get like, you know, like seven people to go get 300 cash out of their ATM. Meanwhile, though, put on a face like no one knows, you know,
yeah.
you can't let anyone know what's happening. And so you're constantly
exactly.
putting out little fires all over the place.
Exactly. Exactly.
Billy,
and why
I'm
are
curious,
we still doing it? Because we love it.
We love it.
Billy, I want to ask you now, because it's easy to say that you started out in hair and makeup, but how did you get your background with both those fields?
As far as hair and makeup is concerned? Or
yeah, hair and makeup.
Director? Hair and makeup, I was... when I was a model, I started modeling around 17. when I was still in high school, and Wilhelmina way back when. And, you know, I just got sent out to stuff, and I would sit there and I'd talk to the hair and makeup people, and I'd watch what they did. And then I would start, I honestly just started doing that to my friends and all my girlfriends. I'd do updos on them, do a little makeup, and you know what I mean? As you go out, we're going out drinking. Here, I'll fix you up, you know? So it was actually very natural for me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was, I remember when I turned 20, I went, well, I can't be a model forever. I'm going to get too old. Can you believe
God,
that? 20 years old.
20,
I said that.
You were over the hill at 20. Yeah. Welcome to Hollywood.
I was over the hill at 20. And I went, you know, I better get myself a profession.
Get something stable to fall back
exactly,
on.
Exactly, a hair and makeup artist. That's the most stable thing possible, right? And so I went to hair school. I went to Marinello Hair School, which was on Fairfax.
Oh,
and,
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and so I went there for a year. And then I went, well, now what do? Now that I've got a degree. So I went, well, okay, what's the most expensive salon in Beverly Hills? And it was there was a place called Ménage à Trois, which was on Burton Way. And I walked in there, and I knew that I was going to have to be an assistant. Everybody told me I had to be an assistant. So I just walked in there one day, and I said I'd like a job as an assistant. They gave it to me.
Chutzpah. Yeah.
You know, it was like you just do it, right?
To be that age with that confidence again, right?
Yeah, and stupid. And
yeah.
Because
we
you're
all
talking
have it.
Like
isn't
because when
you
walked
do?
Into when you walked into Ménage à Trois, you're like 21 now or 22, right?
I was 21.
Okay, 21, yeah.
Yeah.
And at 21,
yeah.
We're wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. So of course,
right.
And of course, you know, you're still beautiful because, you know, you were just over the hill a year before. So
I used all the same things that I do today, which is a lot of tape, you know, and never show your back.
Well, you know, Billy, the reason
a lot
why
of backlighting.
Exactly, Jasper. Billy, the reason why I asked about your hair and makeup background is because I was very impressed when you were saying how you would talk to the DP and the various camera operators and letting them know you really need to lift it up a little bit. Or
right,
they were
right.
It was you saying that to them or them saying that to you?
No, me saying them to that them what they had to do to make the actress look her best.
You see, and
so,
that's what I think is impressive, that you just naturally applying makeup to a woman's face and you have the expertise to know like, it's really going to set better. You know, that's so impressive to me that it'll look better
Thank
if you,
you
lighter from here on up. That's what
right.
I think is incredible.
And I think I learned it also just being a model as well. And I would watch. I think I just always watched everything and I took
right.
it in. I was always just intrigued. How do you do this? What are you doing? Why is that light over there? You know, oh, what is that? Oh, that's backlighting. Oh, that's cool. Oh, what is that light up way in the back? Oh, my God, look at that glows it's creating. You know, I was just always eating it up. And so that it just as what Jasper said earlier, all of this was training me for now. And actually, Elizabeth Montgomery was my first celebrity I ever did.
I was going to ask you, who was your first, you know, entree celebrity-wise?
It was very – because it was –
Was it for
a
movie?
I was still at Ménage à Trois, but I had started freelancing on the side doing just free print work because I knew that I didn't want to stay in a salon as an assistant. I wanted to do print work because that would mean I wouldn't have to go to a job in that way anymore. You know, I could do
right,
it just
right.
like I was. And that's because that's what these other people did when I was doing – when I was modeling, they were coming in doing print work. So I said, well, I want to do what they did. I don't want to be there. And also I found the people, I don't know. I think they were stuck in their world and they just weren't very happy being there, you know, sitting in a salon every day. And so I knew that wasn't for me. Needed to be around different people and, you know, the way we live our life, basically. And I happened to have met the photographer. I worked for him, who was her photographer. And after we had done a shoot, he said, you know, you're really, really strong. You're really good. And I've got a client that I think would be perfect for you. And that was Elizabeth Montgomery. And nobody, she never knew this, but as a little kid, and I know that so many people can say the same thing, but she was my idol. I mean, I had a cat named Samantha. I mean, it was like, oh my God, I wanted her to be my mother. I know that I wasn't the only one, but the difference is that she actually did come into my life.
But isn't it great that she came into your life and did not disappoint? You know, so many times, you know what I mean? A lot of times we love these celebrities and then we meet them. We're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's not who I thought she was going to be. Yeah,
exactly. They're so insecure and they're not very capable of being respectful of other people and all that kind of stuff. She was definitely the opposite of all that. She just really took it as she knew who she was. She knew what she was supposed to do. And she treated people very old school Hollywood. Everybody with respect and at the same level, no matter who they were. I remember when we'd go to Le Dome on Sunset Boulevard. She'd have like a present for the person who always parked her car's kid. I knew it was her birthday. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. She'd remember it. And it's just, that's who she was because she cared.
It's amazing. Well, have you been able to work with any former hair makeup clients as a director in the following years? I mean, have you had the pleasure, let's just say that, you know, Elizabeth had survived and was living. Have you had the experience where you're now directing any of the actors or actors that you started out working in hair and makeup with?
I actually have not yet.
Okay.
And there's someone that I do want. I actually have another project that I've written that I want to get done soon. And do you remember Jo Beth Williams?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
The mother
of
Poltergeist. I used to work with her, and I'm thinking in my mind that she'll be perfect as the mother. And I'm going to reach out to her, and I think that'd be amazing to see her. I do have some hair and makeup people that used to work under me because I would always be on the set. And then, of course, you'd have I was the key hair and makeup person, and they would be brought in as a makeup or a hair person. I'm going to I have something coming up soon with Mel England. And we have an actress, an older actress that I want to bring in, this really amazing makeup artist to do her. Cause I can't do that anymore. You know, I don't have time while I'm directing.
Exactly.
I don't know why.
He wears so many hats on set. I think right now he's scrubbing out the lavatory. But as soon as he's done with that, I'm sure he can get you a pre-made lunch because we don't have catering anymore. And he'll run that right over to you.
He's doing the COVID testing. He's the COVID
He's the COVID compliance officer. He got him 10 jobs. He's giving out a test right now, a rapid test. He'll be right with you.
Exactly. That was something to do due to the film No Goodbyes during COVID. And we did have a COVID compliance officer on set, of course. And it made it very different, of course, because we had to stop constantly and open up all the windows and bring in an air purifier. But at the same time, I think it kind of helped the you know, having the pandemic happened, I think it kind of helped the energy of it being like, oh, you know, that tense intensity.
Yeah.
That was,
I could see that. You know? It fit right in with the subject.
God, what a fierce director you are, Billy. It is like, honey, I will let this pandemic help my fucking movie, goddammit. Okay, thank you. I couldn't have even planned. I couldn't have done any better scheduling than this, okay?
I mean, the only thing second would be if you were doing something set doing like the Spanish flu, right? And then you're like, now we're in the next pandemic right now. So, wow.
Exactly. Well, so everybody feel it. Feel it.
Okay. Use that fear. Again.
I want you to go home, everyone. I want you to have a nightmare about it.
Okay, fuckers. Yeah, back to one. And
back to one, bitches.
Put that mask on, bitch. Keep that mask. Keep that face wrapped up.
Listen, if you're just tuning in, we are joined by the wonderful writer, director, producer Billy Clift, and you can follow Billy at it's very simple at Billy Clift. How about that? CLIFT. And No Goodbyes is his new short film that you can find on Amazon Prime. He's got a virtual screening tonight that's involved with the Museum of Tolerance. Billy, listen, I've been a fan for a long time. In fact, the last time I saw you, you and David and I were guests out here on Scott Fullerton's radio show, Left of Straight. We met at he did it at a hotel here. I think that's been like 2 years ago now. That's when promoting the long road. So
I remember you, of course, very well, and I'm so glad to be speaking to you again, and hope to be able to sit and hug and chat soon.
Now, let me ask you, are you in my wonderful old neighborhood, my last haunt in Silver Lake? Do you still live? We're not going to give out your address, but are you in Silver Lake still?
Yes, I live in Sunset Junction. Right.
Yeah. Oh God. Right, I know. We moved full time like 3 years ago. We were at Lucille and Effie, you know, right.
Oh my God.
So,
I used to, before I moved to San Francisco, I lived on Lucille.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Terry Ray was there in the neighborhood. There's so many people. Okay. Now when can we count on you to live out here now? I mean, everybody is making the exodus out to the desert.
Well, I know it's going to happen, but I just feel that I still need to be – I do know it's eventually going to happen, but I still feel that there's this energy that I have to keep on tapping into here.
Yeah.
That is – there's something in me that just keeps on pushing me, and I need to be right here in the center of this at this moment.
Yeah.
So I'll know when it's time, you know, like when I can relax a little, maybe just pull back a pinch. But right now I just feel like, oh my God.
Well, what's great about what I share with people, and Jason may say this too. I feel like now, cause I'm like you, I've got to get into work and get that energy, but then it's so nice to sort of drive away. You know what I mean? It's nice to sort of leave it and then come back to it. But, but you, like you said, it's all, you know, the older we get, we really do learn to live. Like we try to live moment by moment, day to day. It's so hard when we're younger. So anyway, it's just a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm so impressed with the film. Impressed with you and your career. So everyone, check out No Goodbyes and have a great virtual screening tonight.
Thank you. And thank you both of you, Jasper and Ralph. So great to hear your voices as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you were a treat, you know. Are we ending now? It's only 6:40. Oh, well, you have to get to your virtual.
I'm going to let Billy go and then Ralph, you and I will do what we normally do. We'll do our opening.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to do your tap dance.
Yeah. And
yeah, Ralph's going to sing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And, you know, And those Victorian houses that you were talking about, yeah, I'm going to just rip off one of those curtains and put it on my shoulders like Carol Burnett did, goddammit.
Good job.
And Gone with the Wind, goddammit.
I want to see that this afternoon. This evening. That is, better be on Instagram.
Yeah, I was about to say, check your Instagram, bitches. Okay, Billy, thank you. To have a great
love
time
you
and
both.
Getting... And getting
love
feedback.
You, Billy. Take care. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah! Yes, and
fantastic.
He is fantastic. Planet Earth. If you're interested in seeing the other two films along with No Goodbyes, Billy Cliff's film, just simply go to museumoftolerance.com and you'll be able to see the screening that's happening tonight and you'll be able to register.
Yeah, for all of you that are listening live right now, please do. And if you're listening to this later on archive, just remember, go to Amazon Prime. And then check out Here TV's catalog. You know, check out, if you're not already a subscriber of Here TV, they've done some really great documentaries. Like there's one that they did about traveling around and going to like sort of underground bars and underground clubs, that kind of these kind of each city. They did San Francisco, they did LA. I forgot the name of the actual show, but you know how I love a good documentary, Ralph.
Right, exactly.
But
I was going to say, I love how Billy and so many of our guests and just so many people on the planet, when they've wanted to do something from a young age and then they get to do it, or they fall into something and then voila, look at the career. I'm just still loving how Billy was just like so natural with hair and makeup, went to school to do it, and then, as we all are at 21, could walk into a major salon and go, "Hi, I'd like to be an assistant, please," you know, with no qualms, no resume, nothing, you know, not the internet telling you, you know, go to LinkedIn, girl, and put in all your information. It is just
go
like,
to LinkedIn, girl. Yes, that should be your license plate. Go to LinkedIn, girl.
LinkedIn, girl.
Well, I'm telling you, Ralph. So, like, I've known Billy, of course, but then I'm watching this Elizabeth Montgomery special, and he was really the main person in the documentary. And just, you know, talking about being with her and being with her through her cancer diagnosis and being there by her side through to the end. And he was really like a part of her family, right? And when I said, that's what I mean, like, people always say, you know, entertainment is the one business where there's no exact roadmap to you know, I always say, just be open to say yes, be open to opportunity and be willing to make a change. And I'm so impressed, like the fact he had the health issues and, you know, that just propelled him to the next chapter. So I'm surprised too, you both grew up in LA, but you know, you went to college and then I keep forgetting you left for New York for 20 years. So it's not like, or your paths probably would have crossed much sooner.
Did. You know, and what I like about our show, Jasper, I've always said this in Planet Earth, and we've known each other 12 years now. It's so nice that you and I have so many of our paths have crossed, like talking about Mel England working with Billy and they're about to do a project together, Terry Ray, Jason Stewart. The list just goes on, you know.
David Milburn,
Paul Kolickman. And I was going to bring up, too, you know, because I feel every show should feature a boomerang.
Be about you.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
There were several times Hush, Sweet Charlotte was a potential boomerang.
I don't always do them. I know you feel like I'm going to jump on every single one. You got to pick and choose, Jasper, the boomerangs. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, you probably didn't want to boomerang that one because you didn't end up doing it.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Right. And then there's another one. Are you going to boomerang? Go ahead. Are you going to boomerang?
Yeah, that I didn't end up doing. I know every project that I work with Billy, I don't end up doing. Yeah. So, but I was going to say, but I love his parties, though, and his holiday parties are fierce. And, of course, I made my signature chocolate chip cookies, to which Paul Kolickman said that he will always eat my cookies. He loved them. So that was a fun connection, meeting Paul and meeting David there. David, is, of course, has been on our show. And what I was going to mention to Billy is that I can remember meeting David Milburn. We were at, and I think I was with Jason Bogue. We were at DGA at a function, maybe some kind of Outfest function, and we ran into David Milburn. And that's when he was in the planning stages for A Long Road. So how nice that I got to talk to him about a project that would ultimately become Emmy nominated.
Well, what I just realized too, in The Long Road, one of the things they profile is the Black Cat, the famous Black Cat Bar, which was kind of, has never, up until that documentary, you know, we always knew about Stonewall, the bar in New York, but the Black Cat is right in, I just realized he lives in Sunset Junction. The Black Cat is now like a laundromat, half bar restaurant, but it was a, back in the 60s, it was, they had the big anti-gay raids there as well. And Stonewall Inn always gets all the attention, but the Black Cat is another one. And so now I know that Billy lives right at Sunset Junction. So he's literally like across the street from the original Black Cat, which is kind of amazing. Because that was a big part. For anyone who has not seen the documentary, Emmy nominated, as we talked about, it's just such a great just journey of 50 years looking at gay history. And the Advocate magazine, which Paul used to own, he has since sold. But it was just I know it's out on all the platforms. It's called The Advocate Celebrates 50 Years, A Long Road to Freedom. So everyone listening, please check it out. It's really incredible. But Ralph, everything has been, I know it's been crazy. I wanted to just let everyone know that we're back. We're excited. We're going to be back with all new shows. Pretty much all of July and the rest of June as well. And, COVID is rounding the corner. I think everybody is kind of getting back to some sort of, how do you feel since last Tuesday? I was in Georgia when Newsom lifted the mandates. Have you noticed any difference in Los Angeles?
I haven't, because the places I go to, I'm doing aquatherapy now, everybody is masked. So
right.
I still am living in an environment where the places where I go to, everyone is still masked. I know I was talking to our friend Ronnie in Cathedral City, and he was saying, and you know this too, the gym, he was at the gym, he was one of three people wearing a mask. You know, and all the signs in front of storefronts are saying, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask. So I have not witnessed that yet. Like I said, I haven't gone to any kind of venue where people are now unmasked.
How about the grocery store? Have you been there yet?
I've gone to Trader Joe's, but that was before June 15th. So I don't know what it's going to be like now. But I'm still going to be wearing my mask, even though I'm vaccinated.
Yeah, I went to the Trader Joe's out here for the first time because, like I said, I was gone. I think you and I talked, you know, Georgia, that was a whole other thing. But no, at Trader Joe's here, a lot of people, the signs are down now. There's no mask required. All the employees were wearing masks, and I'd say about 20-30% of the customers had them on, but 70% probably didn't, which is fine. I mean, you know, I wore mine anyway. I've not gone to the gym since they lifted it. I'm going to probably see, but I don't know. The gym is a tricky one. I have a hard time breathing with the mask at the gym as it is, but I don't think I feel comfortable without one at the gym, you know?
Yeah, I guess, you know, to answer you, I don't want to belabor anything. Like I said, for right now, everywhere I'm going requires a mask. So I haven't been in a place where, you know, people are not wearing masks. I'm still just, it just, it's so precarious to me because it's like, okay, if you're standing in line and somebody in front of you is not wearing a mask, does that imply that they're fully vaccinated, or they could be not vaccinated and they're just not wearing a mask? Because you don't know. It's like, I'm all masked. Like, I went to, on my way to aquatherapy, when I got there, well, we all have to be masked. But when I went to the apothecary, everybody was not masked, and I felt like an alien.
Right, that's what I was telling you in Georgia, how I felt.
You know, I felt wow, that's overkill. But the thing is, but then you
it's
hear
like
about...
You feel over, it's like you show up at a party, and it's a costume party. Or no, you show up in costume, and no one else does.
No one else is. Right, but yeah. I was trying to be all like, ooh, yeah, you know, everything is open. But the reason why, everything is open.
Uh-huh.
But the reason why everything is open in California is not based on fucking science. It's based on fucking economy and make the governor look fucking good and look at how fierce California is and how we have squelched it and we are now open to open the economy. You know, Barbara Ferrer is still saying, our medical director, health director, still wear a mask, girl, still keep it on. Fauci is saying, he's still saying wear a mask, you know, so everybody will do what they feel like, you know. And then I was trying to feel good. And then you hear about the Delta variant, you know, like mm-hmm. there's always some new variant coming out. And, you know, I just, yes, I know I'm vaccinated. So presumably if I do contract it, it would be a lesser degree, but what are the long-term effects?
Or you may just be like a Bill Maher who just tests positive. And I know of a second person now that is fully vaccinated and was just trying to work on a show, and it's positive, but absolutely symptom free, not sick at all, but had to not be able to work for the last week because they're positive, but you know, but not sick, not even one symptom. I mean, no clue.
Now,
like,
will
she
they
would,
be able to return
she,
back?
She can't return back until she tests negative.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, did you see SAG today? SAG-AFTRA, it was in deadline. They're going to require full vaccinations to start in order to work on any sets in the next 8 weeks. So people, actors have about 8 weeks to get fully vaccinated or they won't be allowed to work.
Now, will there still be rapid testing?
I think so. I think there will be. But the
idea
is... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You go. It's your show.
Well, no, you're the co-host, and I'll let you talk.
That's right, and I usually get the boomerangs, and you're right. Yeah, because I had heard through one of my agents that they're not doing all those COVID PCR COVID before 3 and 4 days. Basically, you show up and do a rapid test, and that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
But then my question was, is that presuming that the people getting the rapid test are already fully vaccinated?
Well, yeah, I mean, but now up until now, they haven't actually made it mandatory. So now that once they make it mandatory, then you'll know that nobody on that set is there if they haven't shown that they've been vaccinated with
exactly.
their card.
Yeah.
I think out of precaution is they'll do the rapid test because, like I said, you can still – well, it's weird because, you can still test positive, but if we actually don't get sick from it, it's just very – that whole part right there is very weird.
But even if you don't get sick from it, like your actress friend, you still have to leave the set. You're still positive.
That's right now because not everyone is vaccinated.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I see what you're saying.
You're not.
Yeah.
You right now they can't ask you if you're vaccinated.
I see what you're saying. I hear you. I wish being fully vaccinated meant that you can't get it, but we all know that that's not true.
Yeah,
That's why I'm not going square dancing or hula hooping, girl, in a room filled with people with no mask on. Like, okay, that. Let me ask you this, Jasper.
I really do want a hula hoop, though. Go ahead.
I'm sure you do with your wearing pigtails. But you and Dennis reached the comfort level having having dinners at outside cafes, you know, not wearing a mask with your friends
right.
that are also fully vaccinated. So let's say you're sitting at a four top and it's you, you're sitting next to Dennis and across from you is person A and person B. You're fully vaccinated. The wait staff is still wearing their mask. You're not wearing a mask at all because you guys are sitting outside fully vaccinated. You eat your meal. Everything is hunky-dory. Now you go to the gym, but you feel a little trepidation now not having a mask on in the gym. Why?
Well, first of all, because we're inside, it's not open air. Although my gym luckily does have these huge roll-up doors, like, you know, like at grocery,
mm-hmm.
like on loading docks, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they do have the ability to open up all the doors. And so that helps. It's gyms to me in general are very dirty. I mean,
mm-hmm.
are germ infected anyway. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know what I'm saying? So like even normal like flu season and stuff, I'm always like washing my hands. But here's the thing, the threshold I have passed, because here's the thing, I pretty much did everything during COVID that I bust through my fears. I shot on location. I did a TV show. I've now flown. I've survived all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the vaccine has taken away 99.9% of all my fears.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of getting COVID because I've been vaccinated now. So
mm-hmm.
so that has really – that's where I turn the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Like I still am not – I'm just not afraid of it. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel like no matter what happens, I'm not going to die from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what happened. And I put myself out there in these situations now where I didn't get sick from it. You know what I'm saying? And I did that before I was vaccinated. I just like the fact that I see that wearing masks and washing your hands, forget COVID, it prevents colds, stomach flus, anything, all these other
exactly.
illnesses.
No, I
yeah,
totally
so,
agree. I agree with you about that.
And,
now,
don't forget, Dennis and I also have now gone into restaurants that are inside. We've eaten, now we eat inside as well.
Without a mask on.
Right. Well, now, yeah. Like, so when I got back, Sunday night, we went to our favorite Mexican restaurant, no mask at all inside.
Oh, wow. And you felt comfortable. Okay. Well, my
yeah.
question to you is, are you going to get a COVID test now that you've flown on an airplane twice and been in a different state?
You know, I think I'm going to. By the way, I ordered a whole bunch of the home COVID test that you can get at Amazon. The Bimax is the company now that sell. You can buy the home COVID kits for home. Just FYI, listeners. Yeah, I'll send you the link.
Okay.
And those should be coming any day. I just wanted to try those to see. You know what I mean? I just wanted to have them. But
Bimax?
I was thinking the other day. I might. Yeah, I think it's Binax or it's Bi. I think it's Binax. Yeah, Binax.
Okay.
is the company. But I was thinking the other day, for shits and giggles, I might do the CVS PCR because it's so, you know what I mean? I can do it. It's
mm-hmm.
easy. I'd be curious.
So, Binax now, COVID-19 antigen self-test. COVID
yeah.
test with, oh, wow. Sending to, without sending, easy to use at home. So antigen, is that the same as the PCR?
You know, I think it's very similar. Yeah,
I
think it's a similar kind of thing. But yeah, so again, you know, I think, and now that I've actually been on a part of the country where, you know, only 30% of the state was vaccinated, that's a big, to answer your question also, we're in California where over 70% have been vaccinated. So it makes me feel a little bit more like chances are, a lot of the people that you're seeing not wearing masks probably have been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what also makes me feel a little better, a little more comfortable. So
yeah, and conversely, I was thinking when I go to Trader Joe's again, now that it's after June 15th and I'm wearing a mask, people are going to think I am not vaccinated. Like they're probably going to think I'm a Negro, and they'll probably think that I'm not vaccinated, a non-vaccinated Negro, because I'm wearing an orange mask. Okay?
That would be an NVN, a non-vaccinated
Negro. There's an NVN. You know, stay away from him, girl. Uh-huh. You know, so it is
a GNVN, a gay non-vaccinated.
Yeah, a gay non-vaccinated talented N. Add a T and a Q-I-A there. Okay. I love you so fucking much. You have, well, I can't discuss this. Just planet Earth and know that Jasper has really had a full cathartic. This trip for Jasper was very cathartic in so many ways, going mm-hmm. home to Georgia, that now him coming back here has just rejuvenated him. And,
yes.
You know,
I'm vaginally rejuvenated. My lips are wide open.
Oh my! You're vaccinated.
Fresh.
You're vaginated. You are vegetarian. You're all the V things. Girl.
I'm vegan-ish. Okay. Vegan-ish.
You're V for victory, girl. You know it is like witch's honor.
Vegan-ish means I'll have a piece of tofu with my chicken.
Okay, listen, witch's honor. To quote Elizabeth Montgomery and our guest Billy Clifford, don't even, okay? Calling Dr. Bombay. Come right
but
away.
But listen, before we go, Ralph, I want to wish Tamara Braun all the best tomorrow night on the Daytime Emmys. Everyone, Cheryl Underwood is hosting live
Work
on
out,
CBS.
Tamara.
They are back on network television. Fingers crossed. I know Carolyn Hennessy's in the same category. But Sean Kanan, so many of our guests. The cast of The Bay, Gregory Martin, Christos, The Bay is up for best series. But Tamara will make history as the only actress to win supporting actress 3 times. So fingers crossed for her. And it's the first award show, I think, that's going to be fully, fully back. I mean, full audience, full red carpet, everything.
Oh, really? Oh, everything is full, sitting next to each other, no social distancing? Well,
everybody
had to be fully vaccinated. Well,
yeah, allegedly.
Let's just hope this fully vaccinated thing works. You know, I will hear of breakthrough cases, but, you know, you and I are choosing our things carefully. You know, I'm not about to go sit in a movie theater yet, you know.
Well, I had stopped going to movie theaters before the pandemic, so you can't get me in one now. Unless it's a premiere that we're – well, between the people talking and the parking, although out here in Palm Springs, it's a lot easier. But
you are so
I can't go
funny.
To one more movie theater where they bring in the baby carriages.
Oh,
you
my
know.
God. You are hilarious. You just sound like Mr. Set in his ways. Oh, it's
I am old as fuck, and I am set in my ways.
The people are talking, and there's a baby over there, and oh, there's Florist.
I am one step away from get off my lawn. You know, I'm Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, the movie.
Oh my God.
I'm sitting on the front porch with a shotgun and an El Camino parked in the driveway.
Oh my!
But
oh my
tell me if it's a screening that we're in. If it's a movie you and I are in, I bet you we'll get in that damn theater and sit on the front row.
Okay, and crane our head up to see ourselves, girl. Oh,
and get some popcorn and everything.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, like you said, we're turning the corner in so many ways, and cathartic things are happening for all of us. So we're all good to go.
And everyone, please listen, have a wonderful, wonderful, safe weekend. And we will be back live next week. We have a very special guest, and that will be posted soon.
Yay.
Give Rose a big hug and a big kiss. And everyone, take care. Stay in the moment. Tell people you love them. And peace out. We will see you next Thursday. Thursday night. Bye-bye.
Bye, planet Earth.
Thanks for checking out One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Check out past episodes and get the latest as they're released. Subscribe today on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.